Well, we're the fifth week into a study on healing that we're doing, and it's really amazing the extraordinary lengths that the Father goes to in the Bible to convince us that He wants to heal us. He wants to heal us of weakness in mind and body and sickness. He goes all the way back to starting in Exodus 15:26, where He names Himself. No human being names Him this, the God who heals, Jehovah Rapha, and just on and on, Isaiah 53. And then in the New Testament, there's this explosion of healing. The Apostle John says that the healings that Jesus did, if the books of the world could not contain them. Now, maybe he's being a little, using some exaggeration, but there were thousands and tens of thousands, and maybe we could even say hundreds of thousands of healings, and he unleashed this healing work. As a matter of fact, we know in Luke chapter 9, he sends the apostles out, and he says, you guys go out and do some healing. But then in Luke chapter 10, the very next chapter, he sends out 72 people. They're nameless. We don't know their name. They're just kind of normal people. I like to think of them as school bus drivers and teachers and all just kind of normal folks. And he says to them, here's what I want you to do. Heal the sick in the towns you go into and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And what we take away from this is that healing is supposed to accompany the announcement of the love of Jesus in people's lives. As a matter of fact, in this case, Jesus said, first heal, then tell them that the kingdom of God has come near to you. So again and again, and we could just go on all through the gospel, the New Testament. And we're going to come to a scripture in James today, where James was writing to some churches, and he is talking to them about the procedure of healing and how this is meant to work. So let's read our scripture together from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. So the first thing James says to those he's writing to is he says, is any among you in trouble? What does he say? If we're in trouble, what does he say to do? Let them pray. I find the greatest temptation often is to take matters into my own hands when there's trouble. The car breaks down, first call is to the mechanic. The fridge breaks, I'm on the internet finding out sales for refrigerators. A coworker's mean to me, I'm tempted to go be mean back. It's just a bad day. I just want to binge watch something on TV. But James says to us, God through James, is any among you in trouble? The car breaks down? Pray. The fridge breaks? Pray. A coworker's mean to me? Pray. It's just a bad day? Pray. I don't have enough money to pay the bills? Pray. I don't feel good? Pray. I don't know what to do? Pray. Amen. Pray. And that's our like immediate gut reaction. And what happens when we obey this command? By the way, this is not a self-help book or a suggestion from God. This is a command. What happens when we obey this command? We stay focused on God instead of the problem. How often are we impressed with the problem? And the problem grows and it gets bigger than God. But when we have a problem, pray. Don't know what to do? Pray. I'm going to get through this?
Pray.
There you go. You are listening. I was wondering there for a minute. God keeps himself in our rightful place in our lives. Then James goes on and he says, is any among you happy? What does he tell us to do there? Let them sing songs of praise. Now, by the way, this is actually singing. This is not putting on Christian music and listening. So some of you may say, you've never heard me sing before. I don't want to hear you sing. You're not singing it to me, right? What happens, God knows what happens when we say things out loud and we hear ourselves confessing the truth of who God says he is. It gets into our mind and we begin more and more to agree with the truth of who God says he is and the promises of Scripture. And that it transforms our worldview. So the car is working. The fridge is functioning. The people I work with are nice to me. I'm having a good day. I have enough money to pay the bills. I'm supposed to be singing songs of praise. Now, how many of us actually sang songs of praise outside of church this week? Okay, there's a couple of us. So the rest of us were disobedient. It's all right. That can easily be fixed. All you have to do is confess and repent, and it's gone. We're supposed to be singing songs of praise. And what happens when we obey this command? A lot of good things happen. We create lives centered on God's goodness and faithfulness. Then we're ready for the days of trouble. Amen? How good he is. So this praying and singing bunch of Christians can handle the more challenging things. What's the more challenging thing? Is any among you sick? And here is the instruction for this one. So first we're to pray in trouble, sing songs of praise in the good times. And then when we're sick, we're to call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So this is just a little side note. Sometimes people are asked, do I need to be a part of a church? Well, if you're not part of a church, you don't have elders to call on, and you may have sickness in your life that you don't need to have. The independent Christian life just doesn't work, right? Okay, can I get a head nod at least? Give me a Presbyterian amen, head nod your head or something here. So if you're sick, I want you to notice this. The first instruction in a healing prayer is to call for a person. Now, it's tempting for us because this is how we think in our culture is to look at this as a hierarchical kind of elected person. But this is not referring to a person of a certain age or elected position or even ordination. This isn't about a title. This is a person. These are people, elders, who are people of prayer and praise. And James, if we read up to this point in James, lists a whole bunch of characteristics of what this person looks like. They're deep in wisdom. They control their tongue. And on James goes. And here's what we know. They agree in heart and mind with God. And here's the other thing. They know all things are possible with God, Mark 9:23. They're holy. They're not like the world. They're not condemning. They're not judgmental. And because they walk with him, they become like him. The more and more they do that, they think like God thinks. They feel his feelings. And they say what he says. That's what an elder is. These are the people you want to invoke the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit over you when you're sick. And I want you to notice, James doesn't say to us they have a special secret gift or knowledge. They're elders because they are full of God. And anyone can be an elder. Look at the person next to you and say, you can be an elder. Now say it this way. I can be an elder. Do you really believe that? Because you can. So Wednesday afternoon, there was a need for prayer. Someone came in for prayer with a level 9 or 10 level of pain. It was horrible. And I was with someone else, and I turned to them, and I said, would you like to do the praying? I turned to this elder. I'll talk about her today because she's not here. She's at work. Her name is Stephanie Helt. And she is a woman of God that walks with God. She holds no title or position in our church. If you said to her, you're an elder, she'd laugh. I'm not an elder. But she did the praying, and I just agreed with her. Now, I'm the one with the title, elder, by the way. I actually hold that title. So does Reverend Ritz here. We hold that title. But there's lots of people that hold the title that aren't elders, by the way. We could go the opposite way with that. So Stephanie, no title, she prays, and healing happened almost immediately. How did Stephanie become an elder? She's been to 22 years of Bible college. No. She's gone all in with Jesus. She loves him with all her heart and soul and mind and strength, and she's held nothing back from him. Is she perfect? No, but none of us are. And God chose her to flow his healing power through her into the life of someone else. Anybody can function in that role in somebody's life. Do you believe that?
Amen.
And so the call first, if you're sick, is to call for a certain kind of person, not someone with a title. And we do anointing with oil, which represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's no magic oil that we have to get, which is blessed by anyone, you know, in the church institute. I buy, you know, just regular olive oil off the shelf in the Giant and anoint people with that. So yes, if I anoint you with oil, it came off the shelf in Giant. It might not even be like really, it's not even gourmet oil. It's like the cheapest oil I can find. Because why buy expensive oil when I'm just, you know, not going to even consume it? But it's used as to remind us a lingering presence. You ever get oil on yourself? How hard it is to get off? Reminds us of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. The elder prays, anoints with oil, or she does. And then the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and they will raise them up. How does the elder pray? In faith. Now that is a word. If I asked you independently to write down the definition of faith, we probably get about 10 different definitions. I find most churchgoers have no idea what faith is. So it's easier for us to understand it as belief. It's the same Greek word that's translated in the New Testament as faith, belief, or trust. And here's what we want to understand belief as. It's to come into agreement in heart and mind with what God says. So this full of the Holy Spirit elder prays in total agreement with what God says. And what has God said? I am healer. I want to heal. I am here present in this moment to heal this person. I can't tell you when I was younger how often I went to pray for people and I thought, oh, I hope God wants to heal him today. And I prayed things like, if it's your will, heal so-and-so. It's always God's will to heal. That's what he wants to do. He loves to take care of us. He loves to heal us. Now, are there obstacles that may have to be overcome? And James is going to guide us through some of them here in a minute. Yes. But that's what God wants to do. And so this elder, full of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, living and walking with God, prays in agreement and heart and mind with what God has said. And this is always going to cause sparks. I mean, this is the sweet spot of prayer where you want to be. The kingdom of darkness trembles. Do you believe that? When a godly woman or man prays in belief and faith. Because the demons are watching us. You know that. They want people to stay in sickness. Because it keeps them doubting God often. This is an amazing thing to see happen and to be a part of. Do you notice anything else about this verse? What do you notice about it that we haven't already talked about? Just shout it out. The Lord will raise them up, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. What else do you notice? Do you see that word will there? And the prayer offered in faith and belief by this person will. Does it say might? Does it say 60% of the time that person will be healed and made well? I mean, do we believe the Bible or don't we? Do we? I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. It's right there in James chapter 5. I looked it up in the Greek just to make sure, you know. Oh, is that a bad translation? Should there be? No. That's exactly what God wants us to see. Again, Exodus 15, 26, we're going through the whole Bible. God longs to heal the hurts of his sons and daughters. And everyone is a son and daughter of the Father, whether they're a Christian or not, a believing God, agnostic, Satan worshiper, it doesn't matter. They're a son and daughter of the God, and that's what the Father wants to do. He will. And then, just in case we're like, he will heal the second, he will heal the sick person and make them well. And when you see redundancy in Scripture, you know God's trying to get your attention, and the Lord will raise them up. So there's a double promise there, healing and this resurrection image. It's a powerful image, right? Powerful. So why would God use such strong, give us such a strong promise if he wasn't going to do it? Does he like to mess with our heads? I mean, is he just not a nice person? No. I mean, there was a point in my life I liked to mess with people. I don't do it anymore. Well, John I mess with over here. But other than he messes with me, so we're allowed to mess with each other. That's not who God is. No, he's the opposite. He is faithful. He's the most faithful, by exponentially most faithful person you will ever interact with in your life. God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant and of faithful promises. Time and time again, you've proven you'll do just what you've said. How many of you would say that's been your experience with God? Time and time again, even when you didn't deserve, raise your hand. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I can remain steadfast. And I love this phrase, let my heart learn when you speak a word. It will, if I had a big wooden pulpit, let's see. It will come to pass. Right? Because great is his faithfulness. To who? To me. Great. We don't have a word. Is there a bigger word than great? We don't have a bigger word than that. We need one. Because, you know, I might say that was a great meal. There needs to be words just for God's faithfulness. We don't have it. But that's who he is. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person healed, and the Lord will raise them up. So, and some of you may be thinking this question, and good, I'm glad you are. Why isn't everyone healed? We need to ask that question, right? Well, number one, I think we just heard an elder needs to be called in, and there's a sequence of things that need to happen, right? I think we often skip that step and don't call in the elder. And so this elder is praying in complete belief that God can heal and wants to heal, and we don't do that. Number two, we know there can be things that block the unleashing of the healing of Jesus into our lives. And that's where James goes next. Here's what he says. He says, if you have sinned. So sin can block the healing God wants to give. They will be forgiven. So, in that healing sequence that we're doing with people, sometimes we got to do confession of sins. And that's like, we think, well, I'm a Protestant. I don't confess my sins to another person. Well, all I know is what the Bible says. I think we're supposed to sometimes. So maybe you won't get healed because you think that's a Catholic thing. No, we're all supposed to do that at times. So that you may be healed. And it unlocks the physical or emotional healing God wants to give us. We talked last week about one sin that makes God angry. Angry. Did I say angry? Matter of fact, he locks you up, it says, in jail. If you don't believe me, read the end of Matthew 18. I'm not making this up. And this sin is unforgiveness. And I can't tell you how many times we're praying with people through emotional healing, healing for anxiety or anger or physical healing, and this comes up that there's unforgiveness, something they haven't forgiven. Could have been from last week or last year or 30 years ago. It's amazing. It seems like it's every single time, but it's probably not. I haven't kept the data on it. But there's a reason it's right here in Scripture, right? That we have to confess our sins in order for healing to happen. And it can. It blocks the miracle God wants to give us. You may think, oh, that's a light bulb going off. There's something I was praying for, and it's just not happened. Well, ask the Father, is there a sin in my life that's keeping you from giving me and answering my prayer? And sin, just to keep this simple, is doing something that Scripture explicitly commands us not to do. We know we're supposed to do it, and we say, no. God's like, okay, if that's what you want, more than you want what I want for you, got to deal with the consequences. Remember when you were a kid, didn't you hate that word? Yeah. Got to deal with the consequences because God is a good, good father. He's a good parent. Now, there's a lot of variables here which are really important to talk about because we come into this with such compassion and gentleness. I know I'm coming off maybe a little strong here today, but God loves us in the midst of that, and he's trying to woo us back. And he will let us deal with the consequences to get our attention, and so we will go from me back to him. And so sometimes this confession of sin is sin that was done to me, and I was a victim. And that's a word that's thrown around a lot in our society today, isn't it? But sometimes people really are victims. And we need to say that and recognize that. And one of the stories that came up was of a woman in Denver, Colorado, who had just been assaulted sexually. It was terrible. And got a disease that could not be cured medically. And so it was embarrassing to her, it was difficult, and so she came for prayer ministry. We wouldn't call them the elders, but she went to a prayer team, and they were elders in the sense that James 5 is talking about. And they came up upon this sin. So she was sinned against. You know what her response was? To sin, commit the sin of unforgiveness and anger and hate. And they said, you've got to forgive those things to her if you want to see God's healing. And she said, no, I can't forgive that. That's a lie we believe. There's some sins that are unforgivable sins, right? You ever heard somebody say that? But they prayed for her and they loved her and they gently invited her. And eventually she forgave. And it was almost immediately after she forgave that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, came upon her and over her body, and she was healed. The Bible really is true, isn't it? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, here's the thing about it. Healing is what God wants for us, so it should be normal in the church. Do we believe this? So the Father knew this was going to be hard for us to believe, so he continues in this little section here he gives us, and he says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. How many, raise your hand if you say, I'm a righteous person. Reverend Ritz? You're not...
I'm righteous because of Jesus.
There you go, all right. You're going to love this. After I give you what a righteous person is, you're going to put your hand up. A righteous person is someone that agrees with what God has said in heart and mind, that's belief, and lives that belief out. Did you see the word perfect in there anywhere? No. So a righteous person agrees with God, believes in what God has said, and lives those beliefs out. How many of you would say you're righteous now? Yeah. So repeat this after me this way. I'm a righteous person. So my prayers are powerful and effective. They are. This is daunting for us. This is, yeah, I mean, okay, you come up with somebody who's got like a big scratch in their leg. Okay, yeah, I can pray for that. And yeah, okay. Maybe God will heal it. But there's much bigger stuff we're praying for. I mean, can God heal anything?
Yes.
I mean, we're hearing testimonies of advanced stage Parkinson's getting healed. God rewiring the brain. Autism getting healed. I mean, my favorite one is the story of a boy that got healed of blindness. He didn't have the optical nerve was missing from birth, so he couldn't see. So he got healed so he could see, and they did a scan of his eyeballs, and there was still no optical nerve, but he could see. Biologically, he should not be able to see. God was just showing off there. I love it. And so this is hard for us. And so God, through James, says, okay, I know this is hard for you, but take a look at Elijah. He was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. So Elijah, there's no person in our world that is like Elijah. I mean, we had a Billy Graham and a Mother Teresa, were great, towering people of faith, but no enormous miracle workers. Elijah would have been the person in the Jewish person's mind that was so far beyond them that somebody had to remind them, yes, Elijah was a human being, even though he did amazing things. I mean, he didn't even die, rode off in a chariot into the sky. He was a human being just like you. And this is what he did. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. I'm going to ask you a question. The only answer you can give is yes, okay? And I want you to say it, and I want you to say yes. If you are praying God's will, and you pray that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, could you do that?
Yes.
Yes, you could. Because he was just a human being. He was an elder. James is telling us. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced the crops. There's nothing, Jesus said, and I forget where this is off the top of my head. He said, nothing is impossible for the one who believes. What is belief? Coming in, say it with me, to agreement with what God says in heart and mind. Oh, there it is. Mark 9:23. Look at me. Put it in my notes. So if Elijah can do it, so can you. Let's end with this story. This kind of wraps this whole thing together for us. A man came for healing ministry. He had cancer. And so we know that when we're praying for someone, we ask them what the problem is. Basically, where does it hurt? And then we always want to get to when did it start? So he said 3 years ago. Why do we ask that? Because often there is a connection with something else going on in their life that caused the illness. Sometimes not. But sometimes there is. So we ask the question, what happened 3 years ago? His mother died. And so the question we wanted to ask there, which we did, was how was your relationship with your mom? Well, it turns out he had been holding in. She had been an emotionally abusive person. By the way, I just realized it's Mother's Day. Maybe this wasn't the best story to tell on Mother's Day. Sorry, moms. Anyway, how's your relationship with your mother? Turns out she was emotionally abusive, and he had been holding it in. He was 65 at the time of her death, holding it in for 65 years. And so when she died, when she passed, it was the opportunity for him to let those emotions free. And when he released them, he did not, in times of trouble, what do? No, he didn't pray. He internalized them. And the longer he held on to them, he got angry and resentful and bitter. And it turns out, this is what caused his cancer. We like to forget Romans 6:23. This isn't, you know, I mean, the Word of God is just true, right? It says the wages of sin is death. Playing around with sin is serious stuff. You can bring illness and death into your body. God doesn't want that for us, but it's true. And so he unleashed through his sin death. And his life was going to be cut short. 3 years into cancer, and the treatment was not working. So you know what he did, right? He forgave his mom. I mean, real thorough forgiveness. Took him a while. We're talking 10 to 15 minutes of forgiveness prayer, of processing the hurts and forgiving her. And he repented of his unforgiveness, and he was healed. He went back again to be scanned, and the cancer was completely gone. And the prayer minister at the time prayed for restoration of all the damage the cancer had done. That had all been healed up. This is who God is. This is what he wants to do. Why? Because God is healer. And he loves us, loves you. He doesn't want you to be in pain and suffering. He has that. That's for us to live in. Health and strength. Peace of mind. That's all ours as his beloved sons and daughters. Do you believe that? Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we repent, some of us, of not believing fully in what you can do. We turn away from viewing you as limited. And we agree and believe that there is nothing impossible with you. You can do anything. Anything. Help those of us who are here today and are listening to this online not to accept pain, hurt, illness as normal in our lives, but to pursue the healing you have for us and to believe in it. Even if it means we have to call someone else to get involved. Some of us, we just don't like to have others in our business. But that's how you design things to work. And so we're willing to be surrendered to to the Bible and what it tells us, God. We pray that you would unleash your kingdom in River Church and other churches in our county, that there would be a healing revival movement that would be unleashed here, just like you unleashed in Luke chapter 9 and 10. In Israel, we pray for that here, that you would call your people to believe for this and heal it. This is a place where people are hungering for the supernatural. They're looking for it. And we want to be a part of it, not just for ourselves and our family's sake, but for the sake of others. And so, yes, today we pray for healing for those that are here. Pray that you would just flow and let your power come upon those. Maybe someone here today will just get healed instantaneously of what's going on in their bodies or emotions in Jesus' name. Or maybe there needs to be a process of calling for an elder, and that's okay too. However you want to bring the healing, we trust you. But help us not to settle in disbelief. And I just want to invite all of you now, if something has come to mind in your life, maybe it's a sin that you need to confess and repent. Dana, would you come play softly for us? Maybe something's come to mind as we've been going through this. I just want to invite you just to take a moment here and quietly just confess that sin. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's anger, bitterness, resentment. Maybe it's an entertainment issue. You watch something you shouldn't have. Whatever it may be, just confess it right now. In Jesus' name. God, we repent of not loving the way you love. We repent of holding grudges and holding on to hurts. Help us to release those who have hurt us. We release them in Jesus' name and we wish them no harm. And if we're struggling with forgiveness today, help us to give us the power. If we ask, you'll even give it to us, God. We ask you to help us forgive those who have done the worst and greatest injustices and horrible things to us. We repent of unforgiveness together now in Jesus' name. We repent of not being holy. So often we're like the world and not like you. We think like the world and act like the world and react like the world. And we repent of that. Help us to walk with you and be full of you. Oh, we thank you, God, that you long to forgive us and cleanse us and wash us of all of the sin that we accumulate. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to say something to you again. Every Christian has the authority to do this in the life of someone else. So in Jesus' name, you are forgiven. You can say that back to me now. John 20:23. Amen. Yeah, okay. Just stay put. I want you to get this. The most powerful thing you probably did all day is what you just did. It's by being honest about your sin and the things you need to repent of and giving them to God. That's a powerful moment. We think it's just some words. Now, you unleashed things from the unseen world into the seen world when you just did that. You released some things God wanted to do in your life that were held back because of your sin. It's powerful. And what I said to you weren't just words. We need to declare each other forgiven and not guilty in Jesus' name. It's powerful. Words, Proverbs say, tells us have the power of life and death. Amen.